with everyone tonight? Good, good. What about this heavy rain we've been getting? Man, I tell you, my grass glows at night. It's thick and lush, and it's growing so fast, I'm inquiring about a ride mower. But anyway, Lord knows what He's doing, and we certainly need the rain. But I tell you, I was even on my back porch. When was it? Was it yesterday afternoon? Late afternoon? I'm always back there. But that rain was coming in so hard that it had me cornered. Had me off the swing, out of the chair, back against the wall. And that rain was just coming in from all different angles. But anyway, we need the rain. I just hope it quits long enough for me to cut the grass. Yeah, that's right. All right, well, welcome everyone tonight. Good to see everybody. I know it's a little bit past the hour, but that's okay. We know what we're doing, don't we? Good to be here tonight, and I'm glad that it's not raining as we're here. But hope everybody's had a good week this week, and hope you've been productive this week, and so forth and so on. We've tried to be productive ourselves in some things, and non-church related. Last week I had to replace all of my back lights in my Avalon. They all went out at one time, and in a single day. And then I believe it was Monday, I had a left blinker go out, and I had my arm stuck up under the tire in the hood trying to get that done. So I tell you, it's a lot going on, isn't it? There's a lot of things, a lot of particulars we deal with, but thank the Lord that we're getting these things situated. But we'll jump right into things tonight. And Miss CC texted me right before church, and she wanted me to tell everybody from her and Chuck that, number one, she appreciates, very appreciative of all the meals and the calls, the cards, the text messages. Both of them just say thank you, thank you, thank you for the loving kindness that has been showed toward them. And shot her text right back, said, well, you know, you're very welcome. She also said she's doing better. I said, you're welcome. Glad you're doing better. And that I'll share that tonight. And that's what church family does. We are here for one another, just like your immediate family is. And even in some cases, so much the more the church family. And I'm a lot closer to you than I am some of my own family members. But anyway, that comes from Miss Cece, and she's doing good, doing better, recovering. Let's pray for our children's home. Miss Melita, of course, continue to remember Miss Melita's sister, Lanice, as she recovers from her fall, broken ribs and her knee. Bobby McClendon, his low blood count. Let's remember him, Miss Nancy. Dawn Capistrano, as she continues to recover from her surgery. She was here Sunday morning, Mother's Day, she was here. Tim Ledford, as he recovers from his surgery. Tracy Reese, as she gets ready to move to Helen. Brother Larry Bennett, got a good report. Some, I know, seen that on Facebook, but the thyroid that they took out, the doctor said it was all, the cancer was contained within it. And it doesn't look like any cells were spread or, you know, anything along those lines. They actually said that it may have some hereditary attachments to it in some fashion. But the good thing is no cancer has spread. They think they got it. Just a six-month checkup is what's required now every 6 months. So thank the good Lord for that. Continue to remember Miss Connie Norton as she's at home recovering with heart issues. Brother Jeff Hodges, his sister-in-law and his friend. Getting better and better, the friend?
Yes.
Yes. And your sister-in-law. Well,
she's finally got her
Excellent. Excellent. Can't communicate. Well, that's awesome. That is awesome. All right. Leonard and Dolores Palmer, they were here Sunday. Brother Leonard, as he pursues his health and his eye situation. Harold Dolph, Don and Carla Rich, Miss Claudia Darby. It was good to see Sunday Randy and Diane Ely and Ran, and I believe his fiance. And so good to see them. They were here this Mother's Day Sunday morning. And speaking of Mother's Day Sunday morning, we must have had 100 or close to it. We had a house full on Sunday morning, and it was so encouraging. I'm telling you, my grandparents were here. Just visitors were here. There is nothing like, I mean, from my point of view, having studied, you know you got God's message, and you come in here, and the church is full. That is an amazing feeling. But on the same token, come in here, got God's message, I'm just as excited with a handful. Just to be fair and just to really speak from the heart, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. But it was just, it's an amazing feeling, awesome feeling, because it's just more people you can reach when there's a church full. And at the same time, there's a little bit of nervousness, too, because you don't want to, you know, you want to deliver it right. But God really blessed Sunday morning, and I appreciate his blessings as we preached on Hannah's home. Appreciate that. All right. Let's continue to remember all of our shut-ins that are members of the church. Remember those who are serving the military. And, of course, Kevin Brook, which is home from college this summer, Champion Christian College. Let's also remember this coming up Sunday morning, we will honor our graduates. We have three that are graduating, and we're going to honor them. Of course, we'll still have singing and preaching, but we will be honoring them this Sunday morning. Sunday night, we'll be back downstairs, our Sunday Nights Plus, and it looks like I'll be bringing the devotion this Sunday night. And I've used up everybody one good time, and maybe we'll make us a round two and let those men, including Brother Jeff on down in the line there, have another go at it a little bit later on. So just remember those things. Also, please, 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 the last thing I'm going to say, two more things I want to say, and then I'll open up to you guys. Please, please, please remember the 31st. That's not next Wednesday, but that's the following Wednesday. We'll be meeting just like this on Wednesday, but an hour earlier at 6 o'clock. And we're having a big youth event in here. Several churches will be here. This is going to be an amazing thing, and we are looking forward to it. Have a church coming up from Mobile, Alabama. And so we'll keep mentioning it from the pulpit. But Wednesday, the 31st of this month, 6 p.m. Last but not least, I'm pretty sure this young lady is watching, but Miss Shirley Townsend has a birthday today. And so if you're watching, Miss Shirley, happy birthday to you. We love you. All right. Does anybody have anything they want to mention, any requests? Miss Amber?
We can keep praying for my brother, Paul Dillon. They released him from the mental facility that he was in, but he's still struggling to get used to the
sure.
meds and whatnot.
Absolutely. Awesome.
Facilities for a year, but he's being a little stubborn.
Yeah. So we'll pray against that stubbornness for sure. That is fantastic. A Christian farm. I know exactly what you're talking about. I actually seen a documentary on one of those. That's outstanding. We'll pray to that end. Hassan. You're welcome. What's that? Yeah. Let's pray for the all the gun violence. There's nothing wrong with guns. There's just things wrong with guns in the hands of the wrong people. And so thank you for bringing that up, Hassan. And seems like every morning there's always something new by someone getting shot and killed. Anyone else? Any updates? Praise request? Prayer request? Any other unspokens? Miss Lee Ellen had one. All right. Let's remember these unspoken requests. Okay. Well, if that's all that we have tonight, let's all come down and pray. All that could, would, can, have just a moment of prayer together, and then Brother Jeff has a song for us. Appreciate you, Brother Jeff. Wednesday in and Wednesday out. Playing the Lord's tunes. Again, it's good to be here tonight, Wednesday night service, and just appreciate each and every one of you. And tonight we're going to be in the book of Luke, chapter number 22, if you would. Luke chapter number 22, and read from verse number 39 in just a moment. Tell you what, I want to shed my coat tonight. A little more freedom. Luke chapter number 22, and let's bow for a word of prayer, and then I want to begin reading from verse number 39, Luke 22, verse 39, after we pray. Dear Lord, we come one more time in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you would use us now. We talked about earlier how we love seeing a church full, but we've also talked about earlier how just a few, Lord, a handful, a small number, is just as important to us. Every life is meaningful and has purpose tonight, Lord, and is very important. And so I pray that you would speak to the people that are here, your church, my congregants. Lord, speak to those that are watching by way of Facebook. And I pray, Lord, that someone will be helped tonight as a result of this message and this service, the singing and all of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Luke chapter number 22, verse number 39. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Angels have jobs. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. While he yet spake, behold, a multitude. He that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. I'm going to stop reading there tonight. That's reading out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verse number 39 through 51, for your own reference. And tonight, I want to call your attention to two verses in particular. And that is verse number 50 and 51, where the Bible says, and one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. I want to talk to you tonight on lessons from a severed ear. Lessons from a severed ear. You say, hold on, Brother Justin. You're getting out there now. Let's keep this, you know, biblical. Don't preach outside the Bible. Well, I'm going to keep it biblical, like I always do. And there's some things, though, in this story, in these two verses, in this scenario that speak volumes. Before I get into those things, let me just say that two friends of mine at our previous church had an experience where they lost a body part. Listen, I know this is very morbid, but I want to say it to preface my lesson. One of them is the when we left Pleasant Hill, he was the chairman of the deacon board, and he worked on elevators. And one time in downtown Atlanta, he was walking out of an elevator, and something happened. He reached in, and his shirt got caught. The elevator started going down, and it ripped his right arm off. And this was his testimony. He said that crazy enough, he said he didn't feel nothing. He said all that came to his mind during that moment was Psalm 23. And he said that he laid in a pool of blood, and if my mind serves me correctly, the ambulance got him, and all he was doing the whole time was quoting Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And I looked, I said, "Brother, you're a better man than I am." Of course, we're speaking on the other side of grace. He was in right dab in the middle of the grace of God being sufficient for him during that time. And so when we served at Pleasant Hill, he had, I believe it was his left arm, mechanical arm, and I mean, he every time he'd come to church, older man, happy, and just always making visits and nothing at all. Didn't get him out of church, didn't get him mad at God, but serving faithfully. And so he learned a lot personally from his experience. Had another man that over in Austell ran a factory, actually owned the factory, I believe, and his job was to bind cardboard into bundles with metal binders. And his glove got caught under one when he went to press the pump with his foot. It got his three fingers. Left his thumb, left his index finger, but these three were taken clean off. And but he healed, he got better, he smiled once again, he learned a lot. But tonight, what about this story? We have a man here, we have, the Bible says, the high priest. The Bible says in verse 50, "And one of them smote the servant," or the servant, the high priest, "and cut off his right ear." The servant of the high priest, his right ear got cut off. And so this scenario occurs or happens after the Last Supper, as Jesus heads to Gethsemane to pray and be betrayed by Judas. A group of officials, scribes, and chief priests find Jesus and go to arrest him. And in this moment, Simon Peter, the Gospel of John says it's Peter, he drew out his sword and he went, I believe he went for his head, and he left with his ear. He missed his head, but he got, I mean, he took that ear right off. And the Bible says that Jesus actually touched his ear and healed him. What's the takeaway tonight? What's the lessons we can learn? What can we glean from this story? Well, number one, there's a lesson here medically, I believe. There's a medical lesson. What do you mean? Well, think about who wrote this gospel. Luke was the writer. You don't have to turn there, but you can make a side note. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, the Bible says, Paul speaking, that Luke is a physician. He says, Luke the physician. And so we have a physician who is also a gospel writer. And he's given an account of this particular situation. And so, the question is, or at least the question that rose up in my mind, why would Luke record such an event? Why would he record this of the servant of the high priest, his name is Malchus, having his right ear cut off, and yet Jesus touching his ear and healing him? Why would he do that? This is just my thinking, what I'm about to give you. Luke, being a physician, maybe, just maybe, Luke was thinking, or could have been imagining during that time or afterwards when he was writing this out, moved by the Holy Spirit, that if he was involved or answering a call of someone who had the right ear cut off, possibly, potentially, Luke would be thinking, I'm not sure if I could save the ear or the man's life because of the blood loss. Think about it for a moment. Think about, now, we're talking about in Bible days. It's 2023 now, so there's all kinds of things medically that they have, first responders can bring on the scene. Brother Randy can tell you in the sound room right now, because he worked for medical team. But possibly Luke would be thinking, well, you know, that would be a hard fix. Blood gushing out the ear. His ear laying on the ground. I don't know if I could save his life. And this is just my thinking. Maybe Luke wrote this down because he wanted to record that what doctors can't do, God can do. That's my train of thinking. Luke, being a physician and thinking about the complications of such a horrific event, he pinned down, and one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Verse 51, and Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Maybe there's an implication here that what man can't do, God can do. So I believe tonight one of the lessons that we can glean from lessons from a severed ear is that of a medical lesson. Anybody here tonight with problems physically? Been to the doctor and the doctor said, well, try this pill and try that pill. And you tried this pill, you tried that pill. Or maybe someone watching on Facebook and the doctor gave you a harsh report and said, if you do this and you take chemo, then the cancer will be gone. And you tried to do this, you tried to do that. You're kind of like the lady with the issue of blood. You've tried everything there is to try and you're nothing bettered. Well, tonight, I know our Lord Jesus Christ is in the business of doing things medically that man nor doctors can do medically. Now, thank God for doctors, okay? We've been with you in your surgeries. We've been with you in your doctor appointments. I've been to the doctor. Thank God for doctors and medications. But there's some times in life when we're suffering from things physically, even mentally, and the doctor said, well, there's nothing we could do for you. I want to say that's when Jesus steps in and he can do something for you. Does he always heal? Does he always touch? Does he always take their cancer away? No, he doesn't always do that. But he can. He can. And so if the doctors has told me, Justin, there's nothing else we can do for you, well, that will have its course in my life where I will mull over that for a while. But then I would have to get to a point of trusting in the one that I know if he wants to, he can touch me. If he wants to, he can heal me. If he wants to, if I die, he can raise me from the grave even before the resurrection happens, if he wants to. Can he not raise the dead? Can he not make the lame walk? Can he not open blinded eyes? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. I remember one time preaching on the blind man here. And Miss Claudia came up to me afterwards. I never had thought about it until she came up to me. And she's probably watching right now. Hey, Miss Claudia, we love you. But I believe it was a long time ago, and you know, preaching on the blind man about how God opened his eyes, Jesus opened his eyes, and go wash in the pool. And he came seeing. And now that I think about it, I think she kind of asked me, kind of giggling. She's like, "Well, Justin, can the Lord open my eyes? Will the Lord open my eyes?" You know, I think she was just kind of being funny with it. She knew he could. But I got to thinking, you know, I never really thought about that. Preaching on the blind man, and then we have a blind lady that we love and that's dear to us who's blind. You reach an intersection in preaching sometimes where you just got to either, you've got to preach it or don't preach it. And I've just decided that I'm just going to preach it. And whoever it helps, then I'm glad it helped them. And if it didn't help them, then let them mull over it for a while. But she was kind of joking about it and all. She knows that God could touch her. And listen, God, he can open the eyes of the blind. He can raise the dead to live again. He can do all of those things if he wants to. So when this man's ear got cut clean off, and the Lord put it back, I don't know if he actually put the ear back on or touched his ear. The Bible just says, and he touched his ear and he healed him. Maybe Luke is saying, you know what? That'll be a tough one for me. I don't know if I could have saved this man. I don't know if I could have repaired his ear, but I know that Jesus did. And so the takeaway tonight on lesson number one from the loss of this man's ear is there's a lesson medically. If you've got pains in your body, if you're experiencing something physically, the Lord can help you. Now, there's a second lesson. I've got three tonight. We'll be through. Not only a lesson medically we get from this story, but a lesson providentially. And what I mean by providentially is God's way of doing things, God's working, how God operates. There's a lesson providentially here. Think about it. So we know the story. It was the Last Supper. Jesus said a lot of things at the Last Supper, the Passover meal, the Passover feast. So they were having the Last Supper. Take the bread. This is my body. Take the cup. This is my blood. All of that's in chapter 22. Jesus getting ready to be betrayed by Judas in the garden where this man will lose his ear, Malchus. And then Peter says, and then Jesus, in verse number 31 of chapter 22, the Bible says, and the Lord says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Peter says, and he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. He said, Lord, I'll go to jail with you. I'll go to prison with you. I'll go to the grave with you. But wait a minute. Jesus already predicted that he would be betrayed and be arrested and killed and his life given upon the cross. He would give his life upon the cross. And now here comes the entourage of men, the officials and the priests and such. And Peter says, no, you don't. Took his sword out, went for his head and cut his ear off. Peter was literally stopping the plan of God from happening. Now, I'm not going to tell you, if I was one of the disciples, I would just say, there he is, men, there's Jesus, go ahead. This has to happen, let's get it over with. Go ahead and redeem man. Lord, you already know. You know we love you. I can't tell you that I wouldn't have been like Peter and tried to defend him. But if I would try to defend Jesus, I would be hindering the plan of God. Because that was the very reason why he came to this earth to bleed and die. If you go back and read the words in red in Luke 22, Jesus' words, verse 37 says, for I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And so this, the plan of God was unfolding. The plan of God, it was like a, it's like a pregnancy, Miss Amber. This was it three trimesters? This was the third trimester. The baby was about to be born. For 3.5 years, Jesus was birthed into this world. But then at the age of 30, he stepped on the scene and started his public ministry and healed and preached. And now he was getting ready to die and die upon the cross to fulfill the purpose by which he came, be buried and raised again. This was the third trimester. This was what it was leading up to. Peter said, not on my clock. Hyah! Not on my clock. Peter was literally, listen, I don't know, but I can imagine how dark it was in that garden that night. I can imagine how the emotions that were attached in that situation. And I mean, Jesus prayed as great drops of blood fell. And the disciples, the inner circle, for sorrow, they fell asleep as they should be praying. They were prayed out. And they fell asleep from sorrow of heart. So finally, Peter does this act. The Bible says that in verse 51, and Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. Stop, 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 stop. This is why I came. Put your sword up. Don't try to stop my plan. Sometimes in life, it gets dirty. Sometimes in life there's pain emotionally, physically, financially. Sometimes, listen, we do our best with our swords trying to stop the enemy, you know, and trying to fix things and provide and get well and get better. And we're using up all of our energy and our resources trying to change things. And we ought to want to change things to make ourselves have a better life, but sometimes suffering is a part of God's plan. Sometimes the Lord will allow some Gethsemane experiences where we pray and we pray and then we just fall asleep crying in our prayers because of great sorrow of heart. Jesus prayed so earnestly, his sweat was translated into blood, and some say as it were like blood. Some say it was blood. I believe he prayed so much that it was coming through his pores and his skin, his blood. That is a very, very strenuous time filled with anguish and sorrow. Sometimes we have to go through Gethsemane's before we and Gethsemane's and crucifixions before we experience resurrections. And so there's a lesson here providentially. Peter tried to stop it. He tried to stop it. He went for the head of the one getting ready to arrest Jesus, got his ear. And so finally, Jesus says, suffer ye thus far, verse 51. Stop. Put your sword up. In another place, I believe he says, those who live by the sword die by the sword. And to your point, Hassan, earlier about the gun violence, those who live by the gun die by the gun. You're using them in the wrong way, going around shooting people. I mean, it produces more violence. And so we see these things taking place. There's a lesson providential. Let us tonight, if we are doing the best we can. I mean, we are trying to stay connected to Him. We know we're saved. We're not the best prayers, but at least we're practicing our prayer life. We're not the best readers. I'm talking about me as well. Not the best readers, but we're practicing, meditating on something in the Bible. We're doing the very best we can do, and yet we're still in times of toughness. Let us not fight against it, but let us stay hooked up to Jesus. That way we can go through it. So sometimes it's a matter of surrender. Sometimes it's just a matter of saying, Lord, I surrender. I trust you, sink or swim. I'm diving in. Like the late Charles Stanley used to say, trust God and leave all the consequences up to him. And that's the long and short of it right there. Trust God and leave everything up to him. There's a lesson providentially here. But then, let me say this. There's a third lesson, and that is a lesson spiritually. There's a lesson spiritually. There's a lesson tonight. There's a lesson medically, providentially, but then spiritually. And again, we're looking at lessons from a severed ear. What do you mean a lesson spiritually? Well, again, Jesus never endorsed using a sword. Now, if you go back and you read, you'll find where Jesus says in verse 36 at that latter part, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. But then in verse number 38, the disciples said, and they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. Meaning you didn't get the point. I'm not telling you to use a sword. What I'm telling you is, whenever I leave this place, die, be buried, and rose again, and go back to the Father, life is going to be dangerous for you. I'm not telling you to go buy a sword, use a sword. What I'm telling you is the kind of fight you're going to be in. He said, it's enough. You don't get it. There's a lesson spiritually here. Peter wasn't supposed to do what he did. He wasn't supposed to, in the act of passion and in rage even, though he was, in his mindset, he was protecting his master, but he was also hindering God's plan, and he passionately cut the man's ear off, Malchus. It wasn't supposed to happen. But it happened, and it was a bloody mess. Anybody in here tonight ever made a mess of anything in your life? Anybody on Facebook ever dropped the ball, has ever backslid on God, has ever did anything where you had a perfect opportunity, you were positioned to do something great with your life, but you messed it all up? Oh yeah, I have. But you see, Peter wasn't supposed to use a sword here and cut this man's ear off. And so Jesus just touched his ear and healed it like it never happened. Jesus has a way of restoration in our life. Jesus has a way of the things that we ruin and mess up. God knows the times that I have said a word here, said a word, a little sly word, action, something I did do, something I didn't do. God knows that I could and can, if I'm not careful, mess up a perfect set of circumstances. But I can also tell you the God that I serve has a way about him where he redoes things. He sets them aright. I serve a God. You serve a God tonight, a God of second chances. Peter wasn't supposed to use a sword and it caused damage. It was a bloody mess, yet Jesus gave him a second chance like it never happened. The Lord tonight, he wants to save souls. And listen, hey, we're all natural born sinners into this world. We were born sinners, separated from God. But yet he at the same time sent his son to bleed and die, be buried, rise again from the grave for us. Take us to heaven when we die, but one of the best parts is forgive us of our past sins, present and future, all sins, especially the ones in the past like it never happened. He wants to erase everything, take away. His blood covers it all. That's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to make someone new spiritually. He wants to help those who are saved. He wants to give them a second chance. He gave Peter a second chance here. This wasn't supposed to happen. I'm just thankful tonight at the times in life where I did things I wasn't supposed to do and the Lord corrected them. That's what we have here, a lesson spiritually. A lesson spiritually. Now, this spiritual lesson deals with the heart, while the providential lesson deals with the life, and the medical lesson deals with the body. These are all lessons from a man's severed ear. So tonight, in closing, I'm glad Jesus gives second chances. He restores the things we mess up. He's the potter, and we are the clay. He is able to touch a situation in your life and mine if we will just let Him. Father, we love You tonight. We thank You. We praise You, Lord, for this lesson tonight concerning lessons from a severed ear. The whole Word of God is used to instruct us. Even stories that seem a little morbid, such as this, Lord, there's a lesson in there. There's lessons all through the Bible. The Bible is one book of lessons and principles. And so tonight, I just pray that You would apply this message to all of our hearts, but especially the one who needs it the most. Thank You, Lord, for Calvary Baptist Church. Thank You for our church family. Be with those on our prayer list. Be with us as we leave and go to our respected homes tonight. Keep us safe. Help us tell someone about You before Sunday. And come back on Sunday ready to worship You. We love You tonight and we thank You for all things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Anybody have anything they want to mention before we dismiss? Well, just remember this coming up Sunday, we're going to honor our grads, and again, still preaching and singing, so that'll be a great Sunday. And then Sunday night, yes, thank you for bringing that up. First Steps class will be this Sunday as well. And if you don't have a class or you'd like to come, you can come. It's just the very basics of Christianity we're talking about. All right, that's all. You're dismissed. Have a great night.